Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoeie met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk. RSG Geldsaake met Money Web elke week saam tussen 6 en 7.
FirstRand is die grootste finansiële dienstemaatskappy wat op die JSE genoteer is. Dit het 'n markwaarde van bykans 500 miljard rand en dit staan op nommer 9 op die lys van die grootste maatskappye op die beurs. Daar is verskeie bekende handelsmerke in die groep se portefeulje, insluitende die twee groot banke, FNB en Rand Merchant Bank, en die groep het ook natuurlik uitgebreide versekering en beleggingsfiliale. Die groep het vandag winssyfers vir sy boekjaar tot einde Junie aangekondig. Die wesensverdienste was 4% hoër op 38 miljard rand. FNB se verdienste was 1% hoër op 22 miljard rand en Rand Merchant Bank se wins was 7% hoër op net onder 10 miljard rand en die direksie het 'n dividend van R4.15 per aandeel verklaar. Mary Willekazi is FirstRand se uitvoerende hoof. Mary, thank you so much for your time tonight. A 4% growth suggests it was a tough period. What happened?
So thank you very much for having me on the show, Rick. I wish I could respond in Afrikaans. So 4% earnings growth in, I think, a tough macroeconomic cycle, particularly with rates being elevated at this level. This is not really what we anticipated 2 years, 3 years ago, I guess, when we originated. And you can see that customer strain coming through in F&B with rather increased impairments. I mean, I think we're quite comfortable about our portfolios in R&B and F&B commercial. So I think that that pressure of the higher rates, I think it is playing out in retail. And then, and I guess during this period when retail has been under pressure, as you would expect from a portfolio, we've seen good performance come and contribution come from RMB, from our subsidiaries in the continent, and also our UK subsidiaries. So, you know, I think before setting aside the account, the money that we put aside for the account, for the provision for the motor sector review in the UK, earnings would have been up 10%, which I think in this environment and given the retail pressures that I've described, I think is commendable. Mm. So, yeah, so we ended up with earnings at up 4% because we took the provision. But pleasingly, our return on equity at 20.3% within our stated range, our long-term stated range of 18-22%. So if you can deliver that in an environment like this and facing the headwinds that we did, I think it's good. Mm. And being able to declare dividends that was up by 8%. So, yeah. So.
I'm going to come back to the vehicle probe there in the UK because it's an interesting story. But just I want to just touch on non-performing loans, as banks call it, or bad debts, people who can't repay their credit. Where is the biggest problem? Mortgage loans, personal loans, vehicle finance? Where seems the problem to be the most prevalent?
Yeah, so I think so we, you know, our vehicle finance business, interestingly, I think even if there's been an increase in the credit losses that we have provided for, is performing very well, given how competitive the environment is, and also just I think they've really been very disciplined in their customer selection. And in our other portfolios, I mean, I think we are seeing strain, I'd say, across the board, you know, across our mortgages and personal loans. And I guess if I can just also just remind you that, you know, over the last 2 years, we would have originated with an expectation that, you know, rates would be perhaps 2 basis points lower than they are at the moment. So even if the customers' affordability was in place and I think had sufficient buffers, what they have subsequently experienced obviously is something really that's quite adverse. So then you have to step up your provision. So there's a lot of and I think another key aspect of our results is that we haven't stopped lending. So I think even when we saw rates going up, we've remained quite consistent with our strategy to lend to low to medium risk customers. So what you're also seeing as an increase in a step charge or in what we are setting aside for the provision is new business strain. You know, I think about About a billion of the 4 billion that we have in impairments actually comes from new business strain. So I think in terms of real bad debts or like, you know, NPLs and the inflows there, I mean, I think we've certainly seen we've seen an increase in flows, and that would be in line with expectations of such a high rate environment. So you know, that's one category. And then the second second cohort that we've seen of inflows in there are customers that are going into debt cancelling. And some of, in the past, we would have seen, we've always had a number of customers that go for debt review, particularly lower end of the customers, that's where we would see it. But in this last 6 months, we've seen an inflow in our private segment, and so those are higher income customers. But the more concerning fact is that some of these customers would go into debt review without having gone into arrears. You know, which means that that's a market development that is, you know, that's not a macro factor. So something that we are paying close attention to. So quite a lot of factors that are going to a high impairment. But I just want to point out that if we look at our credit loss ratios, and I guess we have to look at them, I guess, in the experience over the last two years, retail has only just breached the through the cycle credit loss ratio, and we expect that that's the peak. So I guess for if the fact that we've continued to originate in retail over the last 3 years and only now is our TTC just slightly above the long-term range, you know, I think it's something that we are comfortable, overall comfortable with, though we don't like these levels.
Let's talk about the this probe into vehicle financing in the UK. You've made the provision of 300 million rand. What is this probe all about?
Yeah, okay, so the provision is 3 billion rand. Oh,
3 billion.
So the UK conduct regulator, the FCA, stepped in at the beginning of the year. They stepped in at the beginning of the year and announced that they would take charge of this review of practices in the industry, Motor Commission related. So what had happened is that the FCA, obviously, as a conduct regulator, in 2021 came up with regulations that said going forward, the financiers should not allow for the finance charges to be linked to the commission that ultimately gets paid to dealers. And they said the reason that was banned was that in certain instances, it could lead to customer detriment. So I think along with the industry in the UK, we discontinued that practice from 2021. We also did it for West Bank in South Africa, even though the rest of the market here still has that practice as we speak. Australia also did it, all forward-looking because of this risk of customer detriment. Now, in the UK, what then happened post that decision is that, you know, a lot of cases started coming through the claims management companies, where customers were told, please have a look at your deal. We think that you might have gotten a bad deal. So it started off like that. Mm-hmm. So we've actually been contending with a lot of these cases that have been coming to us over the last 2 years or so since the 2021 decision by the FCA. And we have defended our practices. And then, I mean, a lot of the cases have gone to the county courts in the UK, and over 70% have been found in our favor. So this is so what happened beginning of towards the end of last year is that the banking ombudsman also gave a ruling on some of these cases that then went there. And I think it's good that the FCA, the conduct regulator, stepped in to just say, okay, let's just have an industry-wide review, because I think a combination of having all these legal cases and matters going through the ombuds, I think, was really creating a lot of uncertainty. So what we now sit with is uncertainty around what the outcome is going to be, but I think it's still a better place, actually, for the regulator to have just said, okay, we'll have an industry-wide review of the practices. So, yeah, we await their feedback, which we're expecting in the second half of next year.
Yeah, 3 billion rand is a lot of money, but we'll have to leave it there. Mary, bye-bye, dankie vir jou tyd vanaand. Dit was Mary Willekazi. Sy is First Rand se uitvoerende hoof. Nirina, groot maatskappy, 4% winsgroei, maar toch is hy wins amper 40 miljard rand. Soms denk ek nie, verstaan ons of onthou genoeg hoe groot hierdie maatskappy is nie.
Ja, en ek dink dit wys maar net weer hoe verskriklik goed Suid-Afrikaanse bestuur hierdie groot Suid-Afrikaanse maatskappye bedryf. As ek nou dink deur hierdie hele van die globale finansiële krisis, deur die geweldige skokke met COVID en rentekoers en inflasieverhogings wat ons gehad het, hoe sterk ons banke eintlik in Suid-Afrika gestaan het. En ek dink regtig, dis nie, FNB baie definitief, maar ek dink al die Suid-Afrikaanse banke, ons kan baie dankbaar wees dat ons finansiële bedryf so goed bestuur word en op so volhoubare basis. So, lekker om te sien.
Ja, al ons banke het nou resultate aangekondig. First Rand, ek is die eerste een wat jaarresultate aangekondig het, maar ek sien die prysverdienste 12,7, dis vir First Rand. Standard Bank staan op 8,6. Netbank op 8,2. Absa staan op 7. En Capitec op 32.
Mens moet daar net gaan kyk wat die groei vooruitsigte ook is. En Capitec het natuurlik 'n baie ander basis waar vandaan hulle kom, waarheen hulle op pad is, en hulle het nie daardie langtermyn soort van koste struktuur wat ons ouer banke het nie.
En, ek is seker as redes voor, maar beleggers dit duidelik vir wie hulle stem. Ek gaan volgende week kyk of ek met Kokkie Kooiman kan gesels en dan vergelyk ons 'n bietjie hierdie prestasies.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoeie elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Moneyweb Potgoeie, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Moneyweb News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.